Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Tokyo Olympics focusing on COVID, but what about terrorists? Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. Well, we're all aware that the Olympics are going on in Tokyo, even though they're being called the Tokyo 2020 Olympics and it's 2021. They didn't want to change all the banners and various things that they had printed up for 2020. And then of course it had to be continued because of COVID. But it is very strange to be calling it the Tokyo 2020 Olympics in 2021. There are a lot of things actually that are strange about this year's Olympics. For one thing, you know, the fact that they called the Tokyo called an emergency and had to or decided to ban spectators from the Olympics is one of the things that has made a big change, not for the better. It is really, if you've been watching this, you know, it's very strange to see nobody in the seats from the opening of the Olympics to the different events, athletic events. And of course, you know, some people thought, well, maybe that doesn't really matter because I wasn't going to go to Tokyo. They think to themselves they weren't going to go to Tokyo anyway, but it does matter because even if you're watching this on television and there's no roar of the crowd, that makes a difference. So also it's when they did this, it made us hear a voice inside our head that said, COVID-19 may not really be over. And of course we are definitely thinking that is true. Now also the athletes are being affected. The athletes aren't quite on their game for various reasons. You know, it seems like particularly American athletes aren't quite on their game. Some of them have withdrawn. Simone Biles, for example. Technically, it's a French. It would be Biles, but she's, you know, she just withdrew, and it's just there have been various mishaps. And of course, you know that there are over 100 people connected to the Olympics who have tested positive already for COVID. And then, of course, there is the question, will the athletes themselves get infected by COVID and bring it home, infecting all corners of the globe at once? I mean, there are some people who think that the Olympics shouldn't have taken place this year because of that danger. There are fewer people watching it on TV. There are some advertisers who pulled out. You know, all in all, it has been harmed by COVID. But on the other hand, you know, you can look at it, is the glass half empty or half full? On the other hand, you know, the people who did go there are brave and wanted to represent their countries and took that chance and so on. Do you know that there are also anti-sex beds? They have made anti-sex beds made out of cardboard. That are supposed to not withstand the movement of a couple having sex. However, there have been some athletes who have tried this, and it doesn't seem to be stopping them. Let's just put it that way. So now, what does this have to do with terrorism? Well, for one thing, since 1972, when there was the terrorist attack at Munich, There has been a loss of innocence from the Olympic Games. In fact, there's been an association between terrorism and violence and the Olympic Games since 72. There are reasons why terrorists and terrorist organizations are attracted to attacking the Olympics or in general, big sporting games. First of all, they may be targeting the athletes participating in the games. Then there's also the spectators, throngs of spectators, might be an attack on the corporate sponsors of certain sports events. And then also, there are things connected to sports arenas, places where sports take place that have a connection to terrorism. For example, of course, the one that you might be thinking of most as happened most recently is the Paris 2015 attacks by terrorists on the Stade de France, actually. It was an international football match, and outside they perpetrated an attack. And then also, other sport spaces have been converted to sites of state-sponsored terrorism. For example, in Afghanistan, the main sport venue in Kabul was used by the Taliban to carry out public executions during halftime at sporting events. And then there's also been military style physical trainings that have been done and as part of some terrorists' preparation, of course, for attacks and connected to sporting, you know, the athleticism connected to sporting events. What else? Terrorists may well choose the Olympics in particular, but sporting events in general, but especially the Olympics, because this would maximize the negative psychological impact. And so other reasons why they might pick the Olympics or other sporting events is because it's difficult to physically identify terrorists amongst the spectators and the flow of spectators. And then also the proximity of these sporting events, especially the Olympics, to transportation hubs. So then the terrorists can escape quickly. And then there are also hospitality sectors connected to sporting events, of course, especially the Olympics, hotels, restaurants, and so on. And that can, the terrorists can then expand their reach and affect the people in these associated hospitality areas as well. Then in Tokyo 2020, they took precautions about COVID, like when I was telling you the anti-sex bed. They're making the athletes eat alone, or so that was the plan anyway. But you can see athletes not keeping 6 feet of distance, so they might well no longer be eating alone. There has been no consistent increase or decrease in the frequency of terrorist attacks during Olympics after 1970, actually. And there are two hypotheses for why some people think that there would be more terror attacks at Olympics and some people think that there would be less, more because of all the things that I was just telling you, and less because of the increased security. Now, it's not clear how much security Japan is taking. I'll tell you in a minute about what their trains are doing. But as for the rest, it's not really clear how much they've done. Now, there have been 3 fatal terror attacks during the Olympics since 1970. And of course, the first one is 1972 in Munich, when eight people from the Palestinian Black September Organization, a terrorist organization, took members of the Israeli Olympic team hostage. First, they killed two of them, and then they took nine of them hostage. And then things went to hell in a handbasket when Germany was allegedly trying to rescue the hostages. There's also been a terror attack at the Olympics in Atlanta. That was in 1996 when a pipe bomb exploded and it killed one person and wounded more than 100. And the attacker was Eric Rudolph, as you might know, and he was the one who had been involved in bomb attacks on abortion clinics and gay bars. Then in 2008, the Games in Beijing had a more minor terror attack. It's actually classified as a terror attack, but it's not a typical one. It was a man wielding a knife who killed an American businessman and wounded his wife and their tour guide. His name was, his motives are unknown pretty much, but the man's name was Tang Yang Ming, and he had no known ties to terrorist organizations and later committed suicide. Now, it might have to do with the fact that he killed an American, but that one has not really been well defined. Then there are, the people in Tokyo are not, the citizens, and most of whom are not vaccinated, are not happy about the Olympic Games being there. And if you've been watching it, you could see that, like, for example, the bicycle, it was the triathlon I was watching, and the streets are pretty much deserted. And the COVID is surging. There are 11,000 athletes and 60,000 officials, journalists, and sponsors. And they are finding that there are apps that monitor their movements. They are restricting their movements. The idea of it, of course, was to make money, but in fact, most host cities lose money, except for Los Angeles in 1984, because they already had the infrastructure. So Japan isn't expecting to gain any revenue, but the International Olympic Committee, on the other hand, is still going to be getting their share of revenue from broadcasting rights, direct sponsors, and so on. So, we won't really be able to know whether it was a good idea to have them or a bad idea until after the games are over and people return to their countries, and we see whether in fact they spread more COVID or not. Now, there's an irony here. 20 years before the United States attacked Afghanistan, it led other countries to boycott the Moscow Olympics in 1980, and they were protesting the Soviet Union's invasion of Afghanistan. How things change. Let's stop for this segment. When we come back, I'll tell you a little bit about the train, what is something that is happening in Tokyo for security in terms of the trains. And then we'll go on to talking about the 1972 terrorist attack in Munich. And then what is happening now in this current Olympics in terms of terrorism. It's a slightly different, well, it's in some ways it's the same, but in other ways it's kind of the opposite or a slightly different way of looking at it, but it is still terror. So stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about Tokyo Olympics, focusing on COVID, but what about terrorists? And as we've just been talking about, there are some reasons why terrorists might want to strike the Olympics. They have done three times before since 1970. And the Olympics have lost their sense of innocence since the 1972 Munich terrorist attack. Now, before we get into that, however, I wanted to talk a little bit about what Tokyo is doing in terms of their railways. They are increasing their vigilance, and they've been, in particular, they've been doing things like they have begun deploying dogs, and dogs sniff out explosives at their major transit stations. And they have been paired, the dogs have been paired with a trainer and a security guard. And when a dog comes across a suspicious, a suspicious person, the security guard asks for permission to check the person's luggage at an inspection area. And then people who refuse to comply will be asked to exit the station. They also have bullet trains, and they've been doing a lot of security on bullet trains. And there are more than 8,000 security cameras that were set up at its 110 major stations. And this was in general, not just the bullet trains. And they are sending the tape or the digital, I guess, what they're recording is goes to a security company that monitors what these images. And then on the bullet trains, they are also equipped with cameras where the footage is sent to the security center. And then they've made things work at a much faster pace, so that if anything is happening on a train or in a train station anywhere, this control center will find out about it really quickly. Okay, now I'm going to talk about the Munich Games, and in relation to Tokyo, because finally, you know, the relatives of the people who were killed in Munich from this terrorist attack, they have been essentially begging the International Olympic Committee for 49 years, you know, happened in 72, and it took 49 years, which is really, does not speak well for the International Olympic Committee as to why, you know, well, the main reason why they didn't want to do anything, make any kind of a commemoration is because they were afraid of angering people, the countries, the terrorists who don't like Israel. And which is kind of interesting because this year, you know, 2020, the Tokyo 2020 games, they honored the people who were killed, the Israelis who were killed, and one German police officer who were killed in the Munich terror attack. And it's interesting, I was just thinking about this now, that could be, in fact, that could be a reason why there would be a terror attack in Tokyo. You know, terrorists who aren't happy with this commemoration in the opening ceremony. I mean, they made kind of a big deal about it, which as well they should, after 49 years. Honoring these Olympic team members killed by Palestinian gunmen at the Munich Olympics. And what they said, the announcer said at the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympics, they said, "We, the Olympic community, also remember all the Olympians and members of our community who have so sadly left us. In particular, we remember those who lost their lives during the Olympic Games. One group still holds a strong place in all our memories and stand for all those we have lost at the Games, the members of the Israeli delegation at the Olympic Games Munich 1972. And then they asked for a moment of silence. And in 2016, there was some acknowledgement. This was at the Olympic Village at the Rio de Janeiro Olympics. They inaugurated a place of mourning in a leafy part of the Olympic Village in Rio de Janeiro to remember those who had died during the Olympic Games, not necessarily specifically the Israelis. So the short story of what happened in Munich, and I'm going to then go on to a little longer story. The short story is that on September 5th, 1972, a group of Palestinian terrorists who were part of the group Black September entered the Olympic Village in Munich and forced their way into the apartment of the Israeli athletes. Two people were killed almost immediately, 9 others were taken hostage. And what they asked for was they demanded that Israel release more than 200 prisoners who were being held in Israeli jails and 2 German terrorists from Germany, two people that they cared about who were in German jails. But Israel has a policy, and this was set by Prime Minister Golda Meir, and it's a smart policy. She said, and they have kept to this, she said, Israel refuses to give in to the demands, because if they did, no Israeli anywhere in the world could feel safe, could feel that his life is safe. That's what she said. And because, you know, and it's just like what happened here in America with the hackers, where people gave in to the hackers, like the hackers who hacked the gas pipeline, for example. Well, you know, that was, yes, we all would like gas, but that was a very stupid decision, because what's going to happen? It encourages more hackers, just like you don't give in to kidnappers. Now the attempts, really, it was through the years it has been questioned, it's still questioned, just how hard Germany tried to rescue the Israeli hostages. And because it was like Keystone Cops, they made one mistake after another. And one of the mistakes that they made was that they never turned off the power to the Olympic Village after the hostages were taken. So the Germans were around the village, where the hostages were, but because, and there were people filming the German soldiers who were there to rescue the hostages. And so presumably it was on German television, and the terrorists who had power, since the Olympic Village had power, the terrorists were able to learn where the snipers were, where basically all the people who were supposed to be trying to rescue the hostages, the terrorists knew where they were. Now, it all seems rather suspicious. There are lots of details. I'm not going to go into the details of the mistakes that the German soldiers and snipers and all that made, but I recommend that you read about it, because, there are too many to talk about on the podcast today, but you will see for yourself how it really, you had to wonder whether they were really trying. So the dates of the Munich massacre started on September 5th, and it went through September 6th. The target was the Israeli Olympic team. The deaths included 6 Israeli coaches, 5 Israeli athletes, 5 Palestinian Black September members, and 1 West German police officer. And they wanted to, now the thing is that the Germany wanted to make it seem like they didn't want the Olympics to seem, they didn't want to see the world to think that they were a violent nation. Because, you know, there was World War II and all of that, and Hitler and all of that. And they wanted to try to go against that image. And so they put people, you know, the security was very relaxed, shall we say. They didn't want to have the image of this Olympics be like the 1936 Olympics, which then was used for by propaganda by the Nazis and so on. So they were trying to, they expected that the security personnel were only going to have to deal with ticket fraud and drunkenness, those kinds of things. And really the security in general, the security of the athletes' village, including and especially of the Israeli team, was really lax. And, you know, granted, this was before 9/11, and it was before, and this was the major terror attack that then made other people be concerned about terror attacks. Okay, but, and they asked, interestingly, they asked a West German forensic psychologist, George Sieber, to create 26 terrorism scenarios to help them plan security. And he made this, there was one scenario that he created called Situation 21. And it, in fact, it turned out, well, the organizers of the Olympics didn't want to have to prepare against Situation 21. And they didn't really want to prepare about against, you know, they didn't want to do much preparing altogether. And because they wanted it to seem like they wanted to have carefree games without heavy security. So, but as it turns out, Situation 21 did accurately forecast what the Palestinians did when they invaded the Israeli athletes' quarters, killing them and taking the hostages and so on. And if they would have listened to this forensic psychologist, and if they would, well, if they would have listened to him and if they would have done the work to prepare to make these, the, Olympic Village more secure, then it is probable that this disaster wouldn't have happened, or at least not with as many dead, you know, with all the collateral damage. All right, well, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to talk a little bit more about what happened in Munich, and then tell you about what is happening this year, this Olympics, when we come back. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today while the Olympics are going on in Tokyo about Tokyo Olympics focusing on COVID, but what about terrorists? Now, when I left off in the last segment, I was talking about the terrorist attack in Munich, where Palestinians attacked the Israeli athletes, the Israeli team, and killed 11 of them. Let me tell you, I was talking about, you know, this questionable security. Also, the German weekly news magazine, Der Spiegel, wrote this in 2012, not immediately after, I guess, not immediately after the attack in 72, but in the investigations since then, they discovered that the West German authorities had a tip from a Palestinian informant about 3 weeks before the massacre. And they were told that the Palestinians were planning an incident and they didn't do anything about it. After the massacre, the Olympic Games, the International Olympic Committee decided they paused for 34 hours, and then they decided the games must go on. And Israel endorsed that decision. But what happened was, so the attack was on September 5th and 6th. And then on September 6th, after the memorial service, the remaining members of the Israeli team left the games and left Munich. And all Jewish athletes were placed under guard, especially Mark Spitz. Do you remember him? The American swimming phenomenon. He was a star. And then in 1972, he was already an Olympics star, the American swimming star. And he had completed his competitions, and he left Munich during the hostage crisis because they thought that he would be a prominent target, you know, a calling out to be killed, because that would have been a high value target. Okay, let me talk about how this history is affecting the Tokyo Olympics. You know, when people think I've talked before on this podcast about how Americans and Westerners in general, but especially Americans, have stopped thinking about terrorists. You know, they think 9/11 could never happen here again, which is so untrue. and, you know, because we've been thinking about COVID. But religious and territorial and historical disputes have gone on for ages. And the terrorists are not about to say, oh, well, okay, you know, enough, we're tired of this. So it is still raising its head in the Tokyo Olympics. And there are, for example, there are those who say that Iran, who is the world's biggest, most powerful sponsor of terrorism, because they fund all these terrorist, not all, but they fund many terrorist groups, particularly those who want to attack Israel. Well, they all want to attack Israel, but Iran is the biggest biggest enemy in terms of the war on terror. So there are some people who have gotten together and who are saying that Iran should be banned from the Olympics, period. And this is why they say that should happen. For example, there is a man named Navid Afkari, who was an Iranian wrestling champion, but he will never get a chance to compete in the Olympics, despite the fact that he's a world-class athlete, because he was murdered by the Iranian regime for opposing the government. And they have, in fact, murdered many other athletes, top athletes, who will therefore never see the games or never see more games if they had been in some. So Afkari, he was a critic of the Iranian regime, and he was accused of killing a security guard during the 2018 Iran protests. And he was arrested, and he was charged with murder and convicted after they tortured him, to make a confession, and with highly questionable evidence. And there were calls from the International Olympic Committee and from President Trump and from the Ultimate Fighting Championship president, Dana White, not to execute Afkari, but Iran went ahead and they executed him in September 2020. Now, not only have they killed a number of athletes, Iran did, but they sent at least one controversial athlete to represent Iran, who also happened to have been an Iranian Revolutionary Guard in the Guard Corps. And he was a militant in Syria from 2013 to 2015. In other words, a terrorist. And his name is Javad Foro. Iran claims that he was a nurse or is a nurse, and he learned to shoot only a few years ago. That's what they're saying, okay? But he won the gold medal in the Tokyo Olympics for men's 10-meter air pistol shooting. They made a big, Iran and even the Olympics. The Olympics tweeted all about it. It was a big deal. And a terrorist, basically a terrorist. So they don't, the people who are very much against Iran being in the Olympic Games is saying that the Olympic Committee has no problem with someone competing in the games who honed his skills by participating in terrorism. You know, none of this nurse stuff. I mean, maybe he is a nurse. That seems very unlikely. But anyhow, Iran has abused and killed athletes for a very long time. In fact, since the Islamic Revolution in 1979, they executed a famous wrestler for his anti-government stance. That was in 1981. In 1988, they executed a volleyball player and a football player, both political dissidents. In 1984, they executed a football player for the same reasons. In 2012, they executed a kickboxer, accusing him of being an Israeli spy. And in 2021, after they executed Navid Afkari, they executed a second champion wrestler, as well as a champion boxer and prominent sports coach. So, you know, in other words, the point is, why should the Olympics allow people to participate, athletes to participate, and countries to participate if they are terrorists? And if they're they execute athletes, you know, the Olympics is all about, it's about a lot of things. It's supposed to be about, you know, having countries compete in a very peaceful way. That's really what it's supposed to be about. And of course, honoring the athletes for their skills. So it seems pretty outrageous then that a country that kills its athletes should be allowed to be in the Olympics, not to mention one that's a terrorist, at least one that we know of that's a terrorist, right? What else? There are many Iranian athletes who have fled Iran, and there was one Iranian ex-athlete who fled to the United States. And he was being interviewed by CNN, and he told CNN that Iranian intelligence watches the teams at the Olympics, or just in general, 24/7, and they're punished if they do anything wrong while they're abroad. So he, this Iranian ex-athlete said, "I want to ask the IOC, are you aware of this? You talk about gender equality and race equality. Are you aware that one of your members is violating the charter all the time?" Meaning Iran. "You have been silent about this. This is sport. It has to be about peace and friendship, but they teach you to hate." And, you know, he goes on, or people who are trying to get the International Olympic Committee to pay attention to this, they make the point that Iran violates every principle that the Olympic Games represent. Indeed, so the games continue. The games of, the gymnastics and the shooting and all the other Olympic Games continue. But indeed, the terrorist games continue as well, except the terrorist games leave bodies. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.